Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from John 20, the Gospel according to John chapter 20. I read one verse especially as text verse for the sermon, verse 28. John 20, verse 28, where we read God's holy word as follows. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. The theme for the sermon is confession of faith. Three points of attention. The first point, a doubting disciple. Second point, Christ dealing with doubt. And the third point, Thomas confessing Christ. So the theme is confession of faith. Three points, a doubting disciple, Christ dealing with doubt, and Thomas confessing Christ. Congregation, there is a Chinese saying about doubt. It says, doubt is standing in two boats with one foot in each. You could say one boat of I believe, the other boat of I reject. And doubt is standing with 2 feet in two boats, 1 foot in each. And that's a difficult position. You can imagine that. Can you see that? Stand with each foot in a different boat. Very unstable. Very dangerous. And this evening we read about a disciple in doubt, Thomas. We sometimes call him doubting Thomas, unbelieving Thomas. Do you understand what happened in his heart, in his life? We know that Calvin said, where faith is, where the fire of faith is, there is the smoke of doubt. Where the Lord is working in our hearts, we also will experience the power of unbelief and doubt. We even read and confess that with the form of the Lord's Supper, where we confess our sin and guilt and curse before the Lord, especially in a week that we examine ourselves, and then we see and confess that we do not have a perfect faith. And we remember the man who came to the Lord Jesus asking and praying that he would help him and heal his son. And this man said, I believe. Help my unbelief. You understand what happened in the life and the heart of Thomas, that he had a doubt and unbelief. It's not something that we can approve. It certainly is not. How would you feel as if you have children as a parent and your children wouldn't trust you? That would hurt. And we have to say unbelief is a sin. Although we know Thomas was a disciple, he followed the Lord Jesus. The Lord had worked in his heart. But here, he is in a situation of doubt and unbelief. And what a sad situation. A doubting disciple. How honest is the word of God, that this is something that happens in the life and heart of children of God. We know other examples. We know Sarah, the wife of Abram, when the Lord came with his promise that a child would be born, she left in unbelief. We know the example of that mighty creature, John the Baptist, who, when he was in prison, sent his disciples to the Lord Jesus and asking that question, if he was the one, is something that we see in Scripture. There might be someone here right at this moment experiencing that in his or her own heart. Oh, what can you do? How sad to see Thomas when the disciples come and tell him, we have seen the Lord, and that he is refusing to believe. No, I will not believe if I cannot touch the wounds in his hands and side. I will not believe. Unbelief is a sin. So what can we do if we struggle with it? If we experience it within? We have to confess it before the Lord. Don't try to deny it. Don't try to cover it yourself. But lay it before the Lord. Lord, here I am. Oh, my heart is full of unbelief and doubt. Is there someone here? Maybe a boy, a girl, having that question inside. Is it really true? Does God exist? Is the Bible the word of God? Is it true? Is it true that there is forgiveness of all my sins by faith? Is it true that God is hearing my prayers? Oh, I do not see it like I would like to see it. All those questions can be in our heart. And let's be honest about it. Let us pray and confess it before the Lord. He is the only one that can change our hearts. And he has promised it in his word. Even if your heart feels like a stone, cold, remember that the Lord has written in his word that he is the one that is taking a heart of stone away and giving a heart of flesh, living hearts, beating for the Lord because of his love revealed in Christ, who came to save sinners. We read in this history how the disciples were at the evening of the resurrection behind a door that was shut. Did they not remember the word of the Lord Jesus? The Lord told them that he had to suffer and that he would resurrect. But they were in fear at the very day that he resurrected. And they had a door shut. Oh, they are to be blamed that they didn't listen carefully to his word. That they didn't believe his word, pay attention to it with a heart like they should. So much darkness and fear in our lives is there because we do not listen to his word and rest in his word. Oh, that doubt in the heart of man. We are so inclined to think that the things we see, we can touch, we can enjoy immediately, to think that those things are the real things and worthwhile to seek. And we do. We try to get the nice things of this world. We want money. We want a beautiful car, a beautiful house. We want the pleasure of the things of this world. And we think they are real. I can feel it. I can see it. I can enjoy it. I find delight in it. But is that true? And it's so hard for us to believe that the invisible things revealed in the Word, that they are real. Yeah, I hear it. I know it. Is it really true? Is it real? Is there a God? I cannot see it. Oh, our heart is so inclined to unbelief. That's why we need the word. That's why we need the proclamation of the word with authority, and that the Holy Spirit will use it so that faith will be worked and strengthened within. And we really deceive ourselves if we think the things that you can see, touch, enjoy, find pleasure in immediately here in this life, those things are the real things. That's a lie. Those things can give you pleasure for a moment. This afternoon I preached in jail, and I used the example of alcohol that people, or drugs that people use to get some joy and feel good, but the next day they feel worse and they all recognize it. And that money is something that you have today, tomorrow you can lose it. And certainly when you have to die, it cannot help you. Are those things real, worthwhile to be sought above all? Certainly not. It's a lie. We deceive ourselves. But the invisible things are real. And we all will see that if I use an example. If I use the example of love. Can I take love from my pocket and show to you? See, here is love. No, it's not visible. You cannot see it. But it is real. There is the reality of the invisible things. God is the living God. And those things are worthwhile. They last forever. The things that God is proclaiming in His Word. That there is forgiveness of our sins. That we can receive peace with God by faith. Oh, our heart is so inclined to doubt those things. Although they are so true, and many can witness about the truth of those invisible things. Oh, to experience by faith the reality of God, the nearness of Christ, the peace by forgiveness of sin, the consolation in my heart of the Holy Spirit dwelling within. These things are real. They last forever. They bring a joy to our hearts, experienced here and now by faith. And in eternity, in a full measure, by sight, to see God, to know Christ like He is. Why would you doubt these things? You might say, well, but it's impossible for me. I cannot get my heart to believe in those invisible things. I understand. Well, there is an answer for you in the Word. The Lord is teaching in His Word that faith is a gift of God. So I have hope for you. You who experience your rebellion, your heart, your unbelief, your doubt. Oh, confess it before the Lord. And look unto Christ. And He is the one who by His Holy Spirit is inclining the heart, working faith in the heart, using the Word. God is revealing Himself. Here I am. Here I am. Where Christ is shown in such a clear way, so that you would trust in Him alone. Yeah, the door of your heart might be shut in a way that you feel it's impossible to open it. You might be full of fear. You might have forgotten the word of the Lord. But read what happens here. That the Lord Jesus came where the disciples were assembled and the doors were shut for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. For Him there is no hindrance to overcome all these things and to bring His peace. Peace be unto you. To change that fear into peace. His name is Prince of Peace. The angels were singing when He was born, peace on earth. And Paul is teaching us in Romans 5 verse 1, We, being justified by faith, have peace with God. It's a work of Christ. Oh, we cannot work that peace in our hearts, but He does it. He is coming to the disciples, even where the doors were shut, and they were full of fear. But Thomas was not there. He was not there. And when the disciples told him that they had seen the Lord, he didn't believe it. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." What a shame. So let's listen how Christ is dealing with this disciple, with the doubt, the unbelief in the life of Thomas. By the way, we can see the result of the fact that Thomas was not there. The first time when the disciples were assembled. And that had the result that he had another week of darkness. While the other disciples had a joy in their hearts that they had seen the Lord, he had not. It's a real instruction for us that we have to be there where Christ is proclaimed, that we should never neglect the means if it is not really the situation that it is impossible to be there. Oh, let's be faithful, because God is using His word. He is speaking through His word to the hearts. Do we still see how precious it is that the word is proclaimed? Do we see how important it is for our souls that we need the word to overcome that natural unbelief that we have, that sinful unbelief that we have to fight against all the days of our life? We need the word, that God is using His word to work and strengthen faith. And that unbelief is a sin. And sin brings darkness and fear and restlessness. Thomas was not there. What about us? Are we there? When the word is proclaimed, let us be faithful. The Lord is coming again. How gracious and good is the Lord. The next week, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Oh, how long-suffering is the Lord. How faithful He is. It's our only hope. The faithfulness of the Lord, where we stumble daily, where we so easily go astray in our own ways, that the Lord is coming again and again and seeking those that go astray. And there He is, bringing His peace. And then said He to Thomas, oh, what is He gonna say? Is He gonna rebuke him in a sharp way? Because of his unbelief, because of his resistance to believe the word, the message about his resurrection. Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Yes, Thomas is to be admonished. What a tender and loving way has the Lord Jesus for this disciple. Oh, how low is he coming? How near is he here to Thomas? Thomas, reach hither thy finger, here. He's showing his wounds to Thomas. How good is the Lord? He knows our hearts. The Lord has provided also for us in a visible way to strengthen faith in all the attacks that we can experience. He has given in his sacraments that we can see in the bread and the wine the signs of his broken body and the blood that is shed, so that that faith would be strengthened in the hearts of his children, and that they will believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is cleansing from all sin. How tender is his Savior. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my sight, and be not faithless, but believing. Oh, we have to be ashamed about ourselves, that we do not have a perfect faith. But we will never be ashamed about the Lord. If we cry out to him in our need, he is the one that is working faith, strengthening faith, and keeping his own work, so that we will give him all the glory. There is hope for sinners. There is hope for those that experience unbelief, resistance in the heart. Oh, cry out to this Savior. He is such a merciful and gracious Savior. Like the letter to the Hebrews is teaching in the Word of God, Hebrews 4. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Lord Jesus Christ, he became man. He was here on earth. He knows what it means to be man. He never sinned, but he knows how weak we are. He knows our infirmities. And he is now in heaven, that praying high priest. And it's only because of that reality that there is a church, like the Catechism is teaching. He is there in heaven. And by his Spirit, he is gathering a church unto himself. That it is. That is a secret of the church, gathered by Christ unto himself, to get to know him by a living faith, to get a hiding place in him. Oh, doubt is a terrible thing. It's really something to humble ourselves before the Lord. Lord, what a wonder that thou art so faithful, that thy word is true, that thou art keeping thy church. What a miracle that the Lord is showing in his word, that he is never forsaking his own work. That's my only hope. I have no hope in myself. I have lost it more and more, and I have to lose it again and again. Our old sinful nature is so inclined to try to find something in myself to boast in. But the Lord in his wisdom is showing deeper and deeper that there's no hope in our sight. Like Paul is complaining in the letter to the Romans, I am carnal, sold on the sin. It's his complaint, it's his sorrow, it's his sadness. And at the same time, he has a deep joy. He is rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ because of his sufficient work. There is his only hope. Should never forget it. Young people, when you make confession of faith, never forget it. Christ is faithful. When you are disappointed in yourself, ashamed about yourself, look unto Christ, the Lamb of God. You know what that means? Did you come to him? Did you flee to him? Children, young people, adults, there's no hope outside of Christ. But in him is everything we need for our soul. He is such a gracious and tender Savior. He is the same today as he was for Thomas. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 134, stanza 1 through 3. 134, stanza 1, within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, beyond thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace. 134, stanza 1 through 3. We do not read that Thomas did touch the Lord Jesus, but see what happens where Christ is revealing himself in such a tender and gracious way. Yes, he does admonish and warn against unbelief. At the same time, He's coming so low and so near. And read what happens. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Thomas confessing Christ, faith in Christ. If you think about this confession of Thomas, his confession of faith, you can say it's full of adoration. My Lord and my God. You can say this confession is full of delight. It's like you see him embracing the Lord with two hands. My Lord and my God. Taking hold of this Savior. What a wonderful result of the revelation of Christ to Thomas. What a change of mind it is when you hear these words. It's like a hearty repentance of all his unbelief in a joyful confession of faith. Oh, what a fool he was ever to doubt this Savior and his power and reality. We hear in this confession of Christ from Thomas, we hear a full surrender to Christ. My Lord. It has in the Greek language kurios, which means my owner. Christ is his owner, the one who has the right to rule his life, to decide in his life, his king, my owner, my Lord. It's like the Catechism says in the first answer about what your only comfort is in life and death, that I am not from myself, my own, but that I belong to my Savior, he who bought me with his precious blood, my Lord, my owner. Can you understand? There is such a delight and joy in such a confession. It is not true that we all want to be our own master. I want to live my own life. I make my own decisions. I'm not gonna listen to anybody. I decide what I do with my time, my money, my body, anything that I have. Well, we forget that everything we have is received from the Lord. And we forget, and how sad if we don't see that it is not safe in our hands. If we want to rule our life. Well, a lot of those young men, older men in prison, they know. One of those young men came after the service and said, Pastor, I need help. I come out in June. Please write down. Where is the church? Where is your church? Can I get your phone number? I need help. I'm so scared when I come out that I go back to my old sinful habits and addictions. He knew it was not safe in his hands. Do you know that? That you need a king. That you cannot discipline yourself. But you need someone who will rule your life. Someone you belong to. Who bought you with his precious blood. The Lord, my Lord, Jesus Christ. It's not enough to know that Christ is Lord, but you need to know by faith and to confess my Lord, like embracing him by a true faith. And my God, what a wonderful confession. Here is the Lord Jesus standing in his human body. And Thomas is confessing, my God. He knows him by faith as his Lord and his God. The one that is almighty is able to keep him, to save him, to help him. My Lord and my God. Oh, what a blessed confession of faith. What a change of heart from doubt to faith, from unbelief to belief. You understand? You know that change in your heart, that you have to be saved, that you do not trust yourself anymore. Oh, here is Thomas, after all those years, those 3 years of following the Lord Jesus, receiving all the teaching, seeing all the miracles. And now here, it becomes all clear to him who Christ is, my Lord and my God. He is seeing it more clear than he ever did. Yes, there is a growing in knowledge and grace. The Lord is changing our hearts, working faith when we trust in Christ. First time, we are babes in grace. But by his word and spirit, we grow up to know him more. We become youth, young people in grace, and then adults, to know him more and more. That will ever continue. That's what I understand when I hear Paul saying that I might know him. In the power of his resurrection, you can never say, okay, now I've got everything. Now I know enough. Now I can do with what I know. No, you always need more. To know him by faith means to know him in a living relation with him, to live out of him. And when does this confession of faith come in the life of Thomas? And the Lord is revealing himself and showing his wounds to see Christ and him crucified, to see the Lamb of God slain for my sins. Oh, that opened his mouth and his heart to confess him in such a new and fresh way. My Lord and my God. How important it is to see him as the Lamb of God who is slain for my sins. To see his wounds. Christ and him crucified. How important it is to see him for the first time when the Lord is converting our heart from unbelief to belief, to faith in Christ, and daily, more and more, in a daily conversion, to turn away from sin. How important it is to see the wounds of Christ, to see his love, him who is crucified because of my sins. That will be the fountain from which I will hate sin and love Christ, and turn to him daily, more and more. How important to see him as the one who is crucified. When I am in temptation, tempted to sin, to see Christ showing his wounds, like he does here to Thomas, to remember him as the one who is crucified because of my sins. When I am in temptation, should see him, look unto Christ. When I am in trouble, in affliction, in tribulation, how important to see Christ, his wounds, the one who is crucified. He suffered much deeper than I ever do in this life. When I am in trouble, should look unto Christ and him crucified. How important to see him, to see his wounds. When I am blessed in this life, when the Lord is giving me abundance in this life, to see Christ and his wounds, and to remember that I am not worthy all the blessings which the Lord is giving me, so that I in a humble way will have a desire to use it for him, for his kingdom, his service, his glory. How important to see Christ like Thomas is seeing him here. Christ showing him his wounds. When I come at the end of my life on earth and have to pass away from this life in the hour of death, to see Christ, his wounds, and him crucified, he who paid the price for all my sin. There is consolation. There is comfort. Only one comfort in life and death. Oh, to see Christ in heaven for eternity as the lamb that is slaughtered because of my sin, to save me so that I will give him all the glory. Take my crown, cast it at the feet of the lamb, and cry out, thou art worthy to receive the glory, the honor, the praise, because thou hast bought me with thy precious blood. To see him, do you see him? Like he is showing himself tonight in his word, Christ, the word who became flesh. Oh, what a confession of faith. And we hear in this confession of faith of Thomas a testimony of self-knowledge. All his arrogance had changed in humility. My Lord, let Christ control my life, my heart, everything. I do not trust myself. I trust in Christ alone, and no one else than this Savior has a right to be our Lord. Is there anything else? Anybody else ruling your life, your heart, your mind? You're in great danger. Nobody, nothing is to be trusted. Only Christ is that safe and secure hiding place for your soul that will last forever. To say my Lord, my God, includes the faith that his will is good, is only good. Oh, to be united to him and to his will. What a peace it brings to my heart. And the Lord Jesus says, Thomas, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those that do not see and yet believe. What about you? Do you believe this gospel? Do you trust in this Savior? That's the only thing in this life that is really needed. Oh, that unconditional surrender to Christ, my Lord and my God, he who is able and willing to save me. What a blessing, what a joy, what a peace it brings to my heart. It's the only thing that can satisfy my soul. It's the only thing that can fulfill all my desires. Do you know him by faith? Amen. Congregation, dear congregation, the consistory has approved 6 young people to make confession of faith. They have followed the course and they have expressed a desire to make confession of faith in this church. The consistory received no lawful objection regarding any of them. And we will proceed now to the reading of the questions of the public confession of faith, like we find them at page 130 in the back of the Psalter. And I ask you who intend to make confession of faith to rise and reply to the following questions. The first question: do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second question: do you promise by the grace of God to continue steadfastly in a profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third question: do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? And the fourth and last question: do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Samantha Joy Barnard? Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Psalm 31, verse 24. What is your answer, Paul Brian Dijkma? And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11, verse 9. What is your answer, Elizabeth Jane Haikup? For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8. What is your answer, Josiah John Haikup? Yes. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like man, be strong. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. What is your answer, Brandineke Vandenberg? For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. What is your answer, Darren John van der Boon? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, verse 6. Dear young people, it's real blessing that you can be here tonight. After a season of studying and discussing things, memorizing things, I thank you for all the efforts you made, all the work you put into it, faithfulness you showed in doing these things, and now you gave your promise, you answered with yes. And how is that possible? How can you ever keep on those questions? We are so weak. We don't have the strength. It's only by faith. You trust in the Lord. He's the one that can keep you and will if you depend on him. I'm very thankful that you are here. Six young people. You are the next generation of our church. That's what we pray. That's what we hope. That the Lord will keep his church from generation to generation. In a certain way we can say the Lord does not need us. But at the other side we know that the Lord is gathering his church by changing the hearts of people. And so we do say, we need you, young people. And so you did commit yourself to the Lord by answering this question, and to his church. So I would encourage you to be faithful in our church, so that you would receive a blessing from the preaching of the word, and that the church might be kept, and that the church might flourish, and that the Lord will receive the glory. He is worthy to be praised by all of us. It will be a daily fight. You will not be ashamed if you trust in Christ. He will help you and keep you. Dear congregation, what a blessing that we are here tonight, that you have seen this, that you have heard the answers. I'm sure you have prayed for these young people, and I ask you to continue to pray for them, and that they will see in your lives an example of the fear of the Lord, that it might be like what Paul says, follow me like I follow Christ. Oh, it might fill our hearts with joy to see that the Lord has given the desire in the hearts of these young people. But we do know that Satan will attack. Where the Lord is working, there we have to expect the attacks of the devil. He is going about like a roaring lion, trying to do damage to the church and the work of the Lord, to the work of the Lord in the hearts of young people and all the people. We need to watch and to pray and to look unto him who is the lion of the tribe of Judah, is able to keep his church. Let us sing now together, and let us do that standing. We sing Psalter 298, stanza 1 through 3. 298, stanza 1. My steadfast heart, O God, will sound thy praise abroad. 298, stanza 1 through 3, and we will sing this Psalter standing. Congregation, let us close with prayer. O Lord, how true it is, strong in the Lord. And Lord, we are so inclined to depend on our own strength. And that's why we have to learn that lesson, that we are weak, that we do not have strength. And Lord, we are ashamed about our own weakness, that we daily stumble in many ways, sin in our thoughts and words and deeds against Thee, a good and gracious God. Oh, we need comfort. It is a sorrow in the hearts of Thy children. We need comfort. And there's only one comfort in life and death: to know by faith I belong to Christ. He took it all my guilt, all my weakness, all my corruption, all my depravity. He took it when He was nailed to the cross. He sacrificed Himself, to see the wounds of Christ. That is what will take our doubt away. Christ is revealing Himself in His tender care and love, coming so near in His word. Lord, what a blessed Savior Thou art. To know Thee is life, eternal life. To see Christ in His beauty is the delight of the heart of all Thy children. Lord, bless Thy word. We pray for these young people who answer the questions. And Lord, we cannot keep those answers in our own strength. We cannot keep our word, O Lord. That Thou would show Thy faithfulness in their lives to keep them. Our heart is so rebellious by nature. We do not want to submit, to commit. O Lord, when we see Christ, when we see His wounds, when we see Him crucified, Thou art making us willing. It's the work of Thy Spirit to overcome all that natural pride and resistance again and again, and to unite us to Thy will. Lord, bless these young people. Bless Thy church. Bless our church. We pray for other churches, for all denominations here in Grand Rapids, in the United States, all over the world. There's one church. Lord, to be a living member of the Lord Jesus Christ by a true faith. We pray that Thou would forgive all the separations that we have caused throughout history. Lord, what a miracle that Thou art gathering Thy church by Thy word and spirit unto Thyself, to know Thee in eternity like Thou art. That is what heaven is, O Lord. And by faith, we do experience something of that. And we look forward to that great day that Christ will return, the bridegroom, to take His bride to be with Him forever and ever, without sin, without darkness, without tears. Lord, let a day come soon, that great day, that we all will be prepared for that day. that there will be no sin anymore, nothing that will dishonor thee. Thou would be all in all and receive all the glory, because thou art worthy to be glorified forever and ever. Lord, we thank thee for all we receive this day and this service. Be with us the rest of this day when we go home. Keep us, O Lord, the dangerous roads. Keep us in this week. Keep us from sin. Oh, that our eyes will be unto Christ, to see him, to follow him, to experience his amazing love and grace. We pray, Lord, hear us. For Christ's sake alone. Amen.